For hard money, there's a little bit less down. We did 80% loan on this property. It's a little bit higher of an interest rate, and it's more of a short-term product. It was up to a year that we had, but no prepayment penalties for getting out. We just went into it with hard money loan, knowing that we're trying to get the next property under contract, and then we'll do them all as one loan together.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. Today I've got two special guests, Brian and Rebecca. I often say she's got the best last name in the real estate business, which is...
Stupnagel.
And she is German, and she makes the best schnitzel. Is that true?
I know. I actually don't know how to make schnitzel.
Well, you got to learn with that name. All right. So, Rebecca, we've known each other for quite a while now, and Brian. And why don't you guys just tell everybody how you guys get started? A little bit of a progression. You guys did a bunch of deals last year. Tell everybody how you get started and what the progression was, like really quick, and then let's focus on this one deal.
So we started in 2018. Brian and I actually met earlier prior to that. We met through a business networking group, BNI chapter. We were fixing and flipping single family. So we started in that single family world. And I was a realtor. He was a home inspector and a general contractor. We were doing the single family flips, quickly realized multifamily is the way to go for better tax benefits, if nothing else.
Would you agree with me that the typical realtor agent's office is more like an adult daycare center?
Yeah, it is.
I say that out of experience. I used to own a company called PHP Realty. I bootstrapped it. I started it from scratch. I grew it up to 26 agents and I ran it for the first like 4 or 5 years before I got smart and put a manager in there. And then finally, I got so tired of it. I was just like, I'm shutting it down. I'm going to focus on real estate education and doing my deals. But yep. Man, yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
So you guys met and then you decided that you're going to go multifamily. Talk about your first deal.
Our first year out, you know, we started in 2018. We had 4 deals our first year, which was really exciting. You know, we found our first one fairly quickly off the bat, although I put in a lot of hours, a lot of LOIs to get that first deal done. We did the first deal. The second one was under contract before we closed on the first deal because they were both in the same city. So economies of scale. And then we moved into one in our hometown and then another one in Texas later on in that year. So that was kind of our first full year out.
So you did 4 in your first year, 2018. How many did you do in the second year?
We did another 4 our second year. We did just a few deals, but we actually sponsored our first deal for another student. And that was our main goal.
Did you need a sponsor for your very first deal?
We had a sponsor for our first 4 deals.
Did you go to a sponsorship event?
Yes.
Okay. So that is just awesome because this is the progression that we see. We're one big happy community here, but we see people coming in with not knowing anything about multifamily real estate. You can do much bigger deals. We train you to do the bigger deals. Sometimes, you know, some people are afraid to. So we always say, start where you're comfortable, get started there and then go bigger. But a lot of times you are trained at a level that's higher than you can actually qualify for. So you need to go out and get a sponsor. What we see is we see people coming in like that, getting a sponsor for their deals, then doing deals. And then sometime in the future, maybe a short time, but maybe later, then they turn around and they start sponsoring other people's deals. It's like the circle of real estate life. Do you know what I mean? So that sponsorship event. But we've had so many people that tell us that after Multifamily Millions Bootcamp, that sponsorship was like the breakthrough because that's where you get to meet all the sponsors. So you know that if you do get over your head in a deal, you got a place to go to get sponsored. Yes. And this year, you guys will be a sponsor.
Yes.
You come in as a student and then a couple of years later, now you're on the other side and you're sponsoring deals. That's awesome. So, okay. So 4 deals on your second year and that's 219. What about 220? COVID.
COVID hit. We were closing a deal right at that brink, our College Station deal. And the lender bailed at the last minute. It was a bridge loan going into it. We had a lot of rehab to do. It was a plumbing repair. And the lender bailed at the last minute. And so we actually closed that one with a master lease.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Get over the hump. So
a very little known strategy that doesn't happen often. But man, when you can use that, it's really good. We'll have to do a call just on that.
Yes. We used that to kind of get over the hump. And then we closed several months later with normal financing when the lenders kind of loosened up a bit.
Did you do any other deals during the year of COVID?
We did cancel a couple of deals. We had a couple other deals that we had right going into that. We had 3 deals going into COVID and we dropped 2 and kept 1. We kept the College Station one. The other 2 we dropped just because of the timing and obviously the uncertainty of things.
There was so many unknowns back then. You had to be really, really conservative in your underwriting to do good deals. But people were doing deals. You had 3 of them done. And then I understand the next year you did 12.
Yeah, including the one behind me. That's kind of the deal that we were looking at.
That's what we're going to talk about, right?
Yep.
But to be clear, the 12 was because we also sponsored a lot of those deals. So a lot of those 12 are deals that we sponsored last year because we were at the sponsorship event and we've met a lot of people. And lots of times we bring people along. You know, for our first sponsor, we brought in another GP to help us with the deal. And then on our fifth deal, we sponsored him. So again, it's kind of like you said, this progression of people who want to be in the business, they're not quite there yet. And we kind of help bring them along as well. So that's been fantastic for us.
Yeah, I remember when we just recently met in Dallas, I remember when we were talking and you said, we didn't want to do 12 deals. You know, we wanted to actually slow down a little bit and take a break. But he said, you know, these people that we agree that we would sponsor, and all of a sudden they're starting to come up with deals. We didn't want to let them down.
It's all about relationships in this business.
All right. So let's talk about this deal. What are we going to be talking about today?
So this was a deal that was brought to us by one of our partners that we had done properties with in the past. And it's kind of an unusual deal. It was completely off market, direct to the seller. And the first 6 unit was owned by one person. And then the 12 units behind us was owned by a different seller. So they got the one property under contract and we closed on that. It was a little mixed use property, 3 retail spaces on the bottom and 3 apartments up above. And then once we closed on that one, we approached the next buyer, the property next door to us. And because they were identical, just a match on this kind of little row, we approached them about selling to us as well. And because we had just closed on this property, he was open to communications. So we got that one under contract too. And then we merged them together into one loan on the property.
Why did the second guy want to sell?
Just because he realized what the first person got per door, you know, on the property, which to us was really low. It's the properties in Red Oak, Texas, suburb of Dallas. And we got it under contract for a little over $100,000 a unit. And he was completely happy with that. But we knew because we had a property, you know, about 4 miles away for that same type of property. So we were excited. He was, you know, willing to talk about that. And I think it was just because the other seller sold that now he was interested. Because everyone's always, their interest is peaks once something sells. What do they get per door, you know? Could I get the same thing from ours? And we did.
How did you say you came across this deal?
It was one of the partners that we had closed on another deal. He brought it to us and he was direct to seller.
Direct to seller. So did you use a direct mail campaign? How did that seller find the other guy?
He was reaching out to everyone in like a certain market area. He had worked with a broker kind of in the past and he ended up knowing that seller on the property.
Oh, how interesting.
So it was kind of like that individual kind of relationship. And then we did not know the seller of the larger property. So we had to do a little bit of research there, try to get in communications with them. So that took a little bit of time to kind of get that second property under contract because we didn't really know kind of where to start, but it was just mostly finding the tax roll and reaching out. And we actually talked to a couple of the tenants for the retail space because they were in direct communication with them to kind of get that phone number and reach out.
So who made that call?
Our partner did.
What do you say? We just bought the property next door. Would you be interested in selling yours?
Yeah. And of course that sparked, you know, their interest of how much did they get for their property because they're all identical to this same builder. It was just 2 separate parcels on the same row. He was very interested and willing to talk to us. I think we paid $3,000 more per door on for the second one than we did for the first one, but still completely worth it. And we walked in with a little bit of equity.
Just because he wanted a little bit more?
Yeah. A little bit better than the other person, which is fine by us.
But he did give us a credit for the roof. So we ended up actually paying less, but obviously that's built into the cost.
So. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So this is a mixed-use property. What are your all-in costs?
We ended up, was it 2.1? Yeah.
$2.1 million. It's mixed use. Is it still mixed use or did you convert those spaces?
Still mixed use, yeah.
So what type of commercial do you have there?
We have a nail salon, a barbershop, a beauty salon, a couple of little clothing kind of outlet, like a FedEx store, post it, ship it.
So what was the big difference when analyzing this deal because of the mixed use that you had to do that made it different from analyzing an apartment deal?
Just because for the retail spaces, you know, in one of the properties, they had pretty solid contract, but on the other property, they hardly had any contracts at all. So we were able to go in there and renegotiate with a larger property and change it from how it was structured before to like a triple net lease with automatic kind of increases in there. So we kind of took that into account when we bought it, but it is a little bit different because your leases are generally longer. They have certain restrictions in there. And so a little bit different than before, but we love a good challenge.
Yeah. So the two major things that a retail or mixed use space has differently than apartments is the fact that you've got to take into consideration tenant improvements for lease negotiation, whether somebody else is coming in new or somebody's going to renew. And that's usually a pretty sizable outlay at times. And the other one is the probability of release, because, you know, it's a lot less expensive to get someone to release their property and give them some tenant improvements as concessions than it is to lose that tenant. And then you're going to go for a certain period of time without rent coming in. You got to face that probability. How did you handle the tenant improvement aspect of it? What did you factor in?
We've kind of focused on the upstairs, on the rental part. On the downstairs unit that was built in 2016, not a lot of work improvements that needed to be there. A few older air conditioners to kind of consider. Like Brian said, we got the credit for the roof on the larger building because that was the biggest thing that kind of needed to be fixed. But our focus was primarily on that upstairs remodel of the properties because we had a property down the road. We have 48 units down the road in Red Oak, and we were getting $1,250 per door for those one bed units.
How much were they getting here? For one beds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So that's like a $250 bump.
Yeah. We knew going in, really good, you know, rent bumps, and they haven't had any sort of problems getting that.
Nice. When you said you're 2.3 all in, does that include the repairs?
Yeah.
Are the repairs done or are you in the process of doing them right now?
Process.
So once those repairs are done, once the rents are bumped, what is the value of the property?
Probably about $160 a door.
And does that include the commercial spaces as well?
Yeah. Similar rents, a little bit different structure, but yeah, same rents.
So what's the total?
About 2.8 million. So when we bought it for about 2.1.
That's a nice return. And what, by the end of the year, will you have those done? By the end of the first year of the deal?
Yeah.
Sweet. So cash flow, equity bump, and a deal that's going to keep riding. They look pretty good back there. So you got two deals in one. You bought the first one. This wasn't the master lease. How did you buy that first one and then incorporate the second one into it?
So we bought the first one with hard money.
Explain to everybody the parameters of the hard money loan that you used in order to take that deal down. And the reason you used hard money was because you knew that you were going to get the other one under contract?
Yeah.
Okay. So explain the hard money aspect of it.
For hard money, typically there's a little bit less down. We did, I think it was 80% or 80% loan on this property. And it's a little bit higher of an interest rate. And it's kind of more of a short-term product. It was up to a year that we had, but no prepayment penalties for getting out. We just went into it with hard money loan, knowing that we're trying to get the next property under contract. And then we'll do them all as one loan together.
What was the interest rate?
The interest rate was 7.9.
Woo, a little bit higher, huh?
Yeah.
That's typical hard money. I remember when I was doing hard money at like 18-19%. I remember one time I did one at 22%, and my father, he was like, "You're paying what for that?" And I was like, "Dad, you know, it's the same as credit cards and the property cash flows."
Yeah. So the other thing too is it was actually kind of interesting on this one is we actually went back to our flipping days and reached out to one of our hard money lenders that we had used back then. And because we had a relationship and experience with them, they were happy to do this. And they've been calling me nonstop. And we really haven't been in that. They said, "Oh, we'll do multifamily now." I'm like, "Oh, really? We got one for you." And so it actually worked out perfect with that relationship.
That's awesome. So there was no exit point going out of the deal from your hard money lender. What about going in? One point?
One point, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cheap. Was that funded into the deal or was that due at closing?
The hard money, because we've used them before, typically they're 9.9% and 1 to 2 points. But because we have that relationship, we got 7.9 and 1 point.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, so now you get the other one under contract. And what type of a lender takes on this deal? Is it a Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae?
No, we actually went with almost like a credit union, you know, a smaller bank in Red Oak. They always talk about building a relationship. This was a relationship with a smaller bank, smaller broker, but they were willing to put that all into one loan on the property, which was nice. And then our rate is 3.8 or 3.6.
Fixed?
Yeah, fixed.
Prepayment penalty?
I believe after 2 years.
2 years it expires? Wow, that's nice. That's a pretty good local deal.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing about the local lender, and they'll do a deal like instantly, you know, once they get to know you and the financing is very quick and they have local knowledge. I remember when I first entered the Huntsville market, I was trying to create a relationship with Colonial Bank down there, the guy's office, I can't remember his name right. And I said, "Yeah, I'm looking at this property. It's 40 units. It's a rehab. And, you know, I figure I'll put in this much per door and, you know, be able to get this much. And do those numbers make sense to you?" And he says, "Those numbers make perfect sense, Dave." He says, "But odd thing about that property." I said, "What's that?" He said, "A couple of weeks ago, those roofs were brown." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I know, new roofs. So that's one of the pluses. You know, I didn't put that into the rehab." Mm-hmm. He goes, "Nope, not new roofs." I was like, "What?" He says, "They didn't put new roofs on." I said, "The roofs are black now. They used to be brown, you said. So they put on new roofs." He said, "Mm-mm." He said, "Did you notice the overspray?" I said, "No." I said, "Are you telling me they painted those roofs black?" He said, "Mm-hmm. Go back there and look at the overspray and you'll see it." And it just so happened that was his way to and from home, from the bank. So he saw it happen. Up in the Northeast, you know, we didn't imagine doing something like that, you know, and I never even imagined that. But apparently they do that sometimes down south. So that was good local knowledge. So I went back and renegotiated the contract for the roofs. You know, no good. Local banks are good to get in with. All right. So let's talk about the financing for this deal. Did you have to raise money for this deal? If so, how much? Where'd you get it?
So we actually did this as a joint venture. And I'll let Brian talk about that structure a little bit more. We kind of like our joint ventures.
Brian, talk about the difference between joint venture and syndication.
So basically, the difference is that on the joint ventures, it's just, you know, you're coming up with a group of people who are actively involved in the property itself, the day-to-day operations, weekly, monthly, however workload is arranged, and then everybody brings something to the table. Whereas the syndication, from a syndication standpoint, you know, we can raise the money and then we get paid for management to manage the property. So it's a little bit different. And lots of times the lenders do want us to bring money too, which is usually the case. We just, because this was a smaller deal as far as size-wise, and because we've been doing quite a few syndications, we have a relationship with a lot of our larger investors and a lot of partners who come to us and say, hey, you know, I would love to be a part of this deal. Or we can just call them and say, hey, I have this deal. Would you be interested in XYZ? And we usually get a pretty quick response. Because it is a JV deal, and some people are more excited, but it doesn't, just depends on who we're partnering with. And then this way also, because we are JV in it, we are partnering in the truest sense, we are more selective, or we get to be more selective on who we partner with, because we are tying ourselves to each other for this time frame on the property. And that's obviously a very big commitment, 3 to 5 years, which more than most marriages. So, you know,
it's definitely a marriage though, when you go into a relationship and a relationship.
And, you know, and you want to make sure that you have a good working relationship with people and you understand where they're coming from, where you're coming from, and that you have a good synergy. Working on deals like this has been positive for us.
Yeah. And, you know, the best part about those JV deals, you can hold them for as long as you want. You know, yes. There's only a few partners, least amount of partners, least amount of pressure. Every deal has some big surprise, some hurdle that you have to get over, just something in that deal that made it difficult for a period of time. What was it on this deal?
So for me, it was the fact that we did have to go hard money, because that was not our original plan. It sounds great after the fact, but prior to, we were looking to do traditional. We had reached out to the next owner and they were so delayed in their response, but we kind of felt that we were getting some traction with being able to buy that other 12, because it wouldn't really make, I'm not saying no sense, but it really wouldn't make ideal sense to buy hard money on the first one if we weren't acquiring the second. Because sooner or later, because you're paying that point and then you're having to do it again within 9 months, a year, whatever the case may be, to then go into a bridge or a bank loan. And so we really wanted to make sure that you're kind of like on the fence there. And some of the other lenders, obviously, once you acquire it, you're stuck for 2 years. So you're not able to put them together. And it really made a lot more sense to put them together. The numbers penciled out better. It makes it easier too for us to sell.
Rebecca, from your perspective, thanks for that question.
So from my perspective, it was probably the roofs, because the roof on the larger property needed like almost a complete replacement. So we had to go, after Brian was out at the property and looked at everything, we had to go back out and renegotiate that and kind of try to get that worked in to get a credit at closing. For me, the financing part comes easy, so I don't really stumble there. But when you're dealing with roofs and credits and all of that, trying to get that, that was my stumbling.
When you told them that you needed a credit for the roof, what was the response?
Originally, it was like, no, they weren't that bad, but we had that inspection report done showing them how bad it was. It's kind of a meet in the middle, you know, a little bit.
All right. Awesome. That is going to wrap up this edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If anybody's interested in additional information, you can go to www.rementor.com or you can call the office 781-878-7114. Thanks, guys. It's a wrap.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.